citizens of America. As you know, the integrity of the presidency is this day in ruins, and I therefore have no alternative now but to discharge the most grim and unpleasant duty of my career and stand again for office. Now, I've been severely criticized over this. I'm even being sued for breach of copyright by Lazarus. But I know that the people of America...
2 minutes to clerk, Mr. Nixon.
Oh, thank you, Scooter.
It's the Muppet Show with our special guest star, Richard Nixon.
Hey, did you hear about the Irish ventriloquist?
Yeah, he could talk without moving his right hand.
Well, one of these days we'll be given a funny line to say.
Yeah, and pigs will fly.
Now say, who gave Nixon a pilot's license?
No.
Curly, frog of my heart. I think something's wrong.
How do you mean?
I think the people who dub the laughter and applause on are pressing the wrong button.
Excuse me. I refuse to share my dressing room with a snake.
Oh, that's a mirror, Mr. Nixon.
Well, the thing is, Mr. Destang, I trust there'll be no tasteless reference to my previous,
Oh, relax, Mr. President. Nobody here would be that dumb.
Hey. Oh, wait.
Hey-ya. I wouldn't say Nixon was tricky, but he shaved 17 times a day. One for each face. I wouldn't say he's a crook, but when he sends birthday presents, he writes, not to be open until after police five. Yeah, whenever he hears something being recorded he doesn't like, he has a way of making sure it never...
Thank you, Fussy, and good luck in Siberia. Well, now, it's over to our resident weird person.
This is Radio 4. Later on tonight, there's a chance to hear a short extract from this program.
We present the wonderful world of the Brothers Grimm.
Brothers Grimm. Their enchanting legacy of fairy tale and make-believe has been adapted into books, plays, and Tory manifestos all over the country. Theirs was a fantasy world of trolls and ogres, witches and dragons, Elaines and Stritches. As children, the Grimm brothers were new to country ways, and many of the time they would go to the forest for a swim in the oak trees, or search for conkers on the local woodcutter. And on Sundays, they would visit their dear old grandmother's grave and scoff when she told them ghost stories. And thus did the Brothers Grimm develop their love of folklore and grew up to become the best-loved storytellers of their age.
Bitch, Felix! How dare you wake me up when Joan Collins is making mad, passionate love to me?
Come on, Oscar, it's time you got up and took a bath.
It's only July!
It's 9:45, Oscar.
Don't give me that! I can see it only says 6:00!
That's where I propped your eyes open with matchsticks. Can we please get some fairy tales written around here?
My socks! What did you do with my goddamn socks, Felix?
Oscar, have you ever heard of the Clean Air Act?
What about it?
Your socks just went down to police headquarters and gave themselves up. Now, please, eat the sandwiches I made for you. Look, I put just the right amount of cream cheese in, with not too much brie or roquefort.
Roquefort cheese, brie cheese, cream cheese, what am I, a man or a mousetrap? If we gotta work, so let's work!
Oscar, I am not letting you write on an empty stomach.
For God's sakes, why not?
Because it always sticks in the typewriter, that's why not. Now take it out and use some paper.
Fussy? I never knew such a man to...
I am not fussy. I am...
I can't take much more of this. 14 fairy tales we still gotta write. Not to mention 8 new Grumpy Goblin omnibus volumes. And a major rewrite on the Wide Awake Beauty. All to be delivered by August 1st, 1806. Do you realize what today is, Felix? Have you any conception? July 5th, 1980. We're 174 years behind schedule.
So we write faster. Oscar, we had to move with the times. We couldn't go on working in 19th century Bavaria forever. Besides, I didn't want to come to New York in the first place.
What's wrong with New York? It's the greatest city in the world. Look, it's got places you can go to for a meal, places you can go to for a smoke, places you can go to for a drink. What more can a man ask for?
Places you can go to?
It's got those as well.
I think we should have stayed in Europe, maybe settled in England.
If God had intended man to live in England, he'd have given him gills.
Okay, Oscar, listen. I got a storyline I've been throwing around in my head this last few days. Listen and tell me what you think, okay? Once upon a time, see, there was this series of dreary afternoon programs for bored housewives.
Fairy Time, the thrusting magazine show for elf wives and middle-aged fairies all over the much cheaper than screening an old film, introduced by a woman who wishes she wasn't, Judith Chalmers.
Hello. That's already £50 less than Alistair Sim and the Green Man. And welcome to Fairy Time. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Peas Blossom.
Hello, Peas Blossom.
Well, what aspects of fairy life are we going to pretend to ad-lib about today? Well, last week we dealt with good fairies.
So do I, Peas Blossom.
So this week we're going to spontaneously chat about wicked.
Yes.
Now, do you have trouble when you're a wicked, Master Sim?
Oh, me too. I find the worst thing about being a wicked is getting my spindle
swung. Oh, well, yes, Trudy, it's funny you should memorize that.
Yes, that's £20 saved on Beaufort Eyed White in 2 ways.
Yes.
And I think your trouble, Master Seed, is that you're probably using short nap symbols.
Well, we're still £37 cheaper than Reach for the Sky with Kenneth Moore. So now, on Fairy Time, it's over to the other side of our tiny studio. Hello. And with me now is our special guest, practicing handsome prince, Mr. Arthur Pervins. Mr. Pervins,
yes.
I know from the letters we get that a lot of fairies are fascinated by your job.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
How often is a local handsome prince like yourself on call?
Well, my basic hours are usually ever after, see. But I also put in a lot of overtime.
This is kissing beautiful princesses.
Oh, yeah. Brief kisses are the standard treatment for 100-year sleeps, see, yeah. Maidens sleeping for 200 or 300 are a bit more tricksy, like, yeah. Sometimes I have to stroke their knee and nibble their earlobes and all. Yeah.
And you're sleeping for 1,000 years?
Yeah, well, the job does have its perks, you know.
All right, forward, Felix, I've heard enough.
What's wrong?
Listen, we have as much chance of selling that story as Joan of Arc did of giving up smoking. Don't you realize, Felix, we gotta get up to date. Fairies went out with Noel Coward for years. Now, listen, I got a story here I've been working on. Listen to this.
Okay.
Once upon a time, Hansel and Gretel came upon a cottage made all of candy and gingerbread. So up they walked along the marzipan path, rang the gobstopper, and who should open the toffee apple but a little old lady? Okay, little old lady, said Hansel, you had this coming. His 38 spat lead into her belly. And she went down in the miasma of blood, her jasmine-scented breasts throbbing like watermelons. She playfully squeezed the trigger.
Oscar.
A whirlpool opened at his feet.
Oscar.
His brain reeled.
Oscar, we are not peddling that cheap trash. Every fairy tale you write, it's the same. Jasmine-scented breasts throbbing like watermelons. And people playfully squeezing triggers, and very often vice versa. want to write a decent story, why don't you do Wee Willie Winkie?
I'm not doing Wee Willie
Winkie. What's wrong with Wee Willie Winkie?
I'm sick to death of this genuine barbecue. Hell, damn it, Felix. I've had it with this machine of yours. Look at this. I type a simple sentence like the evil wizard's jasmine-scented breast throbbed like watermelons. And look what comes out. Wee Willie Winkie went to Droopy the Dandelion's toadstool for din-dins. Where's the dictaphone? The Brave Little Tailor by Oscar Grimm. It was one of those hot, steamy afternoons in late fall. Eddie Venus mopped the sweat off his handkerchief and turned down the thermometer. His face was still sounding fire alarms where Ricky's boys had administered the concrete nose drops. But he could take it. Suddenly, he figured why it was so hot. The fan was going backwards. He poured himself a bar of chocolate and thought back to last night at Roscoe's Casino. In 2 hours, he'd collected over 3,000 G's. It was the worst game of Scrabble he'd ever played. Casually, he reached for the radio and flipped the switch.
John Timpson and a small heap of soggy pastry. The Dow on Radio North, yesterday in Quango.
Order! Order!
A stinking rich cushy number to you, gentlemen, and welcome to this official government squandro into the dangers posed by synthetic heseltines in the environment. Quote Francis Pym be added to the water supply, and if so, Victoria or Niagara. And the lethal effects carbon monoxide fumes can have on garage mechanics, providing you follow the correct procedure. Hey, gentlemen, those then are the cheap jokes, and on to the first item, which is the Central American colony of Belize. This is at present being ravaged by a Force 80 hurricane, which has decimated all life forms, wafted the island of Tonga into North Finchley, and now threatens the entire province with untold death and destruction. Sir Armitage?
Well, basically, I've given this one a great deal of thought, Mr. Chairman, and I do feel we really only have two basic options open to us here.
Yes?
Janice or Debbie?
No, I can't agree with you there.
No?
To me, this is quite clearly a case of Dolores or Sophie.
Sophie?
Gentlemen, surely this is a matter above party politics. We're on now to the earthquake in Nepal, the seismic eruptions of which have caused gigantic earth tremors and vibrations measuring almost 1.5 on the Fiona Richmond scale. Your views, please, gentlemen?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest we call it George Cretis 49 of North Hillingdon.
Right. I think this idea has been stretched as far as it's going to go now. I vote we call it a day. Now, what do you think, Doris or Robin?
I suggest we call it an intermission.
Yes.
There will now be a short intermission.
This is KJR, serving the Pacific Northwest from Seattle.
Coming soon to KJR Seattle, a special week of British shows supplied by England's most sophisticated TV station, Thames Television.
Yes, Thames Television bring you the arch events of the decade. Starting at 6 a.m. with a brand new, heart-rending performance of Handel's Messiah by Benny Hill.
Culture, who brought you Kenny Everett's passionate interpretation of Tchaikovsky's First Piano Concerto. Hello, Sid's not here. I was going to play Brahms and Liszt, but the gag was too new. So the producer says, how'd you feel about Schumann? I said, cobblers.
Yes, Thames TV, the company who brought you Max Bygrave Sings, Freddie Starr entertains, and Eamon Andrews never sweats. Now unveil their greatest threat to the Horlicks industry since the 24-hour telethon. The Post Office Telecommunications version of HMS Pinafore.
Wrong number.
Yes, all this and less coming soon to KJR Seattle from TAM Television.
This is Radio 4.
We present By My Book, Unbuy My Book. Introduced as ever and ever by the man with a dynamic, charismatic personality second to a none, Nigel Greaves.
Hello, good evening, and a very George Allen and Unwin to you, and now in paperback to another edition of 75p from all good bookshops. My very brand new hardback to welcome tonight four people without whom available to Christmas and ideal presents for those difficult aunties would be today. First, we welcome editor and co-readership of Punch, Alan Corran.
A second reprint is now on the way.
Next to him, the brilliant whiz kid who insured Rushton's Illustrated against comedy, Mr. Willie Rushton.
£1.75 for W. H. Smith.
And finally, the novelist who's made more illicit money in Yugoslavia than you've had hot dinars. Wrote that last joke and adapted it into a $90 million celluloid sleeping pill by Steven Spielberg. And recently bought himself a microwave ego with the overseas residuals on his laundry list. The man whose name has now become a household germ, Mr. Different Adam.
I see comedy is a kind of ant.
Oh, shut up.
Certainly.
So, on to your first quotation, Alan Corran. Who wrote this? It's easy, isn't it, to wallow in the sterile comforts of modern medical safety. The picture in most households is remarkably familiar. Granny upstairs, blissfully comatose on draft Valium. Father resting peacefully after his recent quickie vasectomy, wondering how the manicure got so out of hand. And downstairs, the children playing marbles with deadly cholera bacteria, up for a snack lunch of penicillin-flavored instant noodles. And yet, complacency can be fatal, because throughout our daily lives, whether at home, at work, or never you mind, we're each of us threatened by a menace far more virulent than any microbe. The Welsh.
Yes, everywhere in your house, Welshmen hide. In the sink, round the S-bend, and under the ring. Very often, huge clusters of them can be found growing down the drain. And 9 times out of 10, they can leap out and be halfway through Bread of Heaven before you've even had time to get out of the oven.
Here at the Cliff Morgan Institute for Northern Cure. Daily tests are carried out on live Welshmen. They're bred specially on a Petri dish from rabid Max Boyce culture. Or damn all, as it's more properly known.
And one of the biggest problems when dealing with Welsh is that there are 15 sexes. This means that to reproduce, all 15 have to come together in a very specific act of copulation, known as rugby union.
In this dish, we have the so-called male voice, or Shirley Bassey strain. And I'm just going to put on the rubber gloves and reach down into the throat to try and sever the vocal cords. It's quite a tricky operation, this. But just reach down and pull and pull and
the vocal cords are then placed onto the plate and delicately bludgeoned with a 25-pound sledgehammer.
Blood! Blood! Blood!
The danger is clear. Unless we act at once,
vast flocks of fat, beetroot-faced taffies will soon be roaming the countryside eating your children and burning down your cottage as soon as look at you. We stopped rabies at the Channel. We can do it again. And all it needs is your support.
£1 will buy a mouth plug for Mavis Nicholson. £10 will blow up a room with your name in it at the Driver's Vehicle Licensing Center, Swansea. And £50 will dry a man's face after a conversation with a Welsh language official. So please send as many insults as you can now to the Welsh Appeal, Hardly Ever, Clyde Jenkins Trust, as far as you can throw him. WC2.
In the months that followed, the Grimm brothers patched up their differences, using a needle, cotton, and TCP. And once again, the stories began to flow from their pens.
So this is the plot, okay, Oscar? One day, the old man has his thumb cut off, and the good fairy turns it into a little boy.
Too smartsy. How about he has his gas cut off, and she turns it into Ronald Reagan?
Too obvious. Oscar, I think there's someone at the door.
Okay, I'm coming. Sorry about the doorbell. We're on a party line with the Muppets.
Mr. Brothers Grimm?
Yes?
I'm an attorney from your publisher's legal department.
Well, don't just stand there on the doorstep. Clear off!
You must excuse my brother. He's played by Walter Matthau.
Oh, I understand.
Uh-huh.
The fact is, gentlemen, we're involved in more litigation over your fairy tale.
You're kidding.
As you know, it's only 6 weeks since we were sued by Mr. Hiram Goldilocks of New England, who said we'd implied he slept around to promote his family business, Ursine Porridges Limited.
How could we have bad luck like that?
Then there was the goose that laid golden eggs, and the subsequent petition by Miss Doris Golden Eggs of Vermont. And of course, last week, there was the action over the Princess and the Pea, in which Princess Anne maintained in court that no way was her husband a soft green little vegetable easily destroyed by caterpillars.
And we were awarded costs.
True. I think this one will be trickier to defend. You remember the Beauty and the Beast?
Uh-huh.
Well, we're being sued by Ariana Stassinopoulos and Verna Levin.
I don't believe this.
Yes, Mr. Levin resents the inference that his girlfriend is a beast. You've got to be more careful with the names you choose, I'm afraid.
Oscar, what are you looking for in Yellow Pages?
I dreaded it. Look at this, Felix. Stiltskin Rumpel, consultant, pediatrician, and guild-aged straw broker. That's it, Felix. I've had it with this whole lousy goddamn business.
Where are you going?
I'll tell you where I'm going to live happily ever after.
And as I said, a short extract from that program can be heard later on tonight here on Radio 4. But now, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
We present Looks Familiar, a review of Dennis Norden's best jokes. Introduced by one of his worst ones.
Hello. If you're one of those people who thinks that smoking dope is an Irishman with a flare in his trousers, if you think that getting your leg over is something done by a reluctant relay runner, if you can remember Frank Muir, then you probably qualify as middle-aged. And just a further test, how many of you, I wonder, remember this man?
Eric Powell of Croydon.
An old broadcast of Eric Pode of Croydon, made in the early days of radio before the BBC realized that you get a much better recording if you don't have a man frying chips next to the microphone. So, welcome to the show, old broadcast of Mr. Croydon, a better known to millions, I suppose, as the Memory Man.
That's right, yeah. Pardon?
They tell me, in fact, you've got a brain like a sponge.
Correct, yeah.
Which would explain the jam filling dripping out of your ears.
No, that's where I asked the BBC for a ride.
Isn't he a panic? Now, Mr. Croydon, I see, in fact, that you're playing somewhere rather interesting at the moment.
No, I was just getting my handkerchief out.
Well, thank you very much, there, old broadcaster of Eric.
Here, my marriage has just broken up after 18 years, you know. My wife, she's accused me of being a complete failure.
Oh, why was that?
I don't know, but she got divorced in white.
Well, thank you very much, old broadcaster.
Still, I shall have to get married again soon. My new girlfriend, she's expecting a little one.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think she'll be disappointed. No. Here, we're going on a holiday next week to a place in North India.
Bangalore.
If it rains, yeah. Here. I get a lot of these from the same fences just for character.
Look, will you get a 78 off this turntable before I...
Well, that's about all we've got time for now. We'll see you all again next week here on The Muppet Show. Bye!
Hey, I think I sorted out that technical problem at last. I just found a gentleman backstage who assured me he was a fully qualified button pusher.
Really? And what was his...